Warning. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Well, now he's officially recording. I should warn you.
Oh, you spoiled it. Dang it. I was hoping to get some juicy confessions from our guests.
Now, I just want Carol to say...
It's too late now. It's not. It's off the cuff.
Spontaneous.
It's not spontaneous. What? I'm an artisanal mead producer, and my wife collects lint. Our budget is $1.6 million.
On the next House Hunters.
Yeah, on the next House Hunters. Face west.
And all the numbers must add up to 8.
Yes. No, it must be a prime number, so. It'll have to be like 3 or 11.
Ah,
okay, we'll keep that in mind.
That's so specific.
That's right.
And the paint color, is the paint color okay?
No, it has to match my hair.
I need room for my felt studio.
I'm not
going to
tell you if that's the gray or the purple. It just has to match my hair.
And I change it once every 2 months.
That's right.
So it just has to change with
chameleon
it.
Chameleon paint. Yeah.
All right. So episode 206.
Wowzers. Can you believe it?
Woo.
George and Caitlin with us, and
yeah.
George, what is the best pronunciation or the correct pronunciation? I guess of your name.
How do you pronounce your name?
I pronounce it Cartsonis.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And Caitlin?
I am Caitlin Clinkscales.
Oh, that is how I had it in my mind. Okay,
yeah,
good. Okay.
It's phonetic. Well, so, yeah.
I'm hooked on Pufahonics. I am ready to go.
A plus. Okay.
So welcome to the podcast. I know you're all worried about the rapid fire response round, but we've actually switched gears.
Okay. Yes, so now you're even more worried.
It's our slow response round. You have 3 hours to answer the following 302 questions.
We'll be handing you the blue essay exam book.
Ah,
please
perfect.
Break the seal now.
I thought it was going to be a test. Turn to page one. I didn't bring my lucky number 2 pencil.
Do you have your Scantron form? So, no, we just want to know if the zombie apocalypse were to happen now, or any kind of apocalypse, quite frankly. Today we had a sour cream apocalypse, but we won't talk about
that. It was a close one.
It was close. There was no sour cream. How could that happen? How could we live in a house without sour cream?
Just wait until you find the sour cream that you thought you had all the way in the back of the fridge. We found one of those once, 5 months after.
Oh, my
Science
gosh.
Project. Yeah. Horribly wrong. Yes.
We named it Frank.
He grew 2 sizes that day.
Help. So when we were kids, my parents, when we moved from one house to another,
this has nothing to do with the zombie apocalypse,
but it's a story.
We're changing gears again.
Yes.
This is how you transported sour cream. Is that the story?
So there was a refrigerator in the house already, but we were bringing our refrigerator, so we had put one refrigerator down in the basement, and evidently we forgot to take a piece of zucchini out of the crisper in the bottom.
Oh, lovely.
And so like 6 months later, when the refrigerator that was there broke, when we went to go pull ours up, it was like, I thought it was a black snake. I didn't know what it was. Because, like, you know, it's a crisper. So the whole other thing was closed. And it was just
disgusting. We really hope you're not eating while you're listening to this.
Yum, yum, yum. It wasn't crunchy, that's for sure. It was mushy.
Wait, how did you know? Oh, okay.
Okay. Because I had to clean the refrigerator so we could use it.
Sure.
All right, so your rapid fire response round question that never happened was, you know, what 5 things would you put in your apocalypse bug out bag?
It could be a zucchini apocalypse as well, I guess.
Yeah, sour cream.
A sword?
Probably a gun to take myself out with, because I wouldn't survive.
Oh my gosh.
I wouldn't even survive for like a second.
No, she would hear zombie apocalypse and be like, where's the bullet? I'm going
right now. But wow. Then you'd come, well, you'd have to shoot yourself in the head because yeah. Then you wouldn't come back.
Yeah. Exactly.
Unless it's not George Romero zombies and it's some different zombie.
Don't.
Boy, a Walking Dead zombie would apply quick, too.
Okay. Okay, but say we decided had to survive.
Oh, say it's not a zombie apocalypse. Say it's like the day after and it's like nuclear war.
Okay, so no, let's say that Kim Jong-un decided he was going to be president for life. Oh, what five things would you take in your bug out bag to get to Canada?
Probably a hunting rifle because I'd have to take all 10 of my cats with me. So I'd have to have a way to feed them along the way.
Feed themselves.
That's true.
I went completely the opposite way. I was like, she's going to take out all of them with a hunting rifle?
Oh my
this
God.
This is horribly sick and demeaning.
No. They'd follow me like a little troop and I would kill the deer and then they would go eat the deer.
Yeah. Wow. Like, you know, Mom, we have fangs. We could actually do this ourselves, but we'll let you. Well, I mean,
they wouldn't last a day. Those things are so fat.
Oh my gosh.
They can't
kill
run.
Us another deer, Mom.
That's exactly up the how it food goes.
I think one scampered over
mouth.
That way. Yeah, give me another deer.
I'd probably have to take coffee too because I don't think I could legitimately survive in the wild without something to. Make me want to stay alive.
That's true.
What would you take? What are some of the things you take?
Oh my gosh, that's so
difficult.
We'd
probably be traveling together.
I kind of feel like the sword in your bug out bag would kind of rip your bug out
bag.
It
would rip it a little.
So maybe.
It would rip it a little.
Okay. Unless you had a sheath on it.
I mean.
Maybe it's a vibranium or an adantium metal chainmail bag.
Okay, so that's way cooler.
We're
opening up.
We're getting really specific now. Okay.
So I would take a Pokeball. Yes.
What?
So you brought in vibranium. So,
immediately we go to Pokemon because that's how you go.
Exactly. It's a geeky podcast.
Then she don't have to kill the deer. She can just Charizard that thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'll break into a zoo and I'll capture either like a lion or a cheetah or something, and that will be my like companion killer. And then I won't have to do anything. We'll get to Canada safe and sound.
Uh-huh. Ride on his back, let him attack things.
Yeah, maybe a kangaroo. Kangaroos are pretty vicious.
Yeah, and then once we get to Canada, they all freeze and we'll be fine.
Yeah. Have my pocket kangaroo.
Pocket kangaroo?
Yeah.
Will you fit in the pocket?
No, it's a pocket kangaroo because it fits like a pocket monster because it's a Pokemon.
I get you. So you'd have a Kangaskhan and you'd ride in it and then you'd catch it and then go in the ball yourself with it.
Well, there you go.
Oh.
That would be cool.
And then you get and then she would have you take that ball. George,
she's really
put
thinking
it in
this
your
through.
Pocket.
She's like, I never
so now,
thought
George,
of that.
You put the Pokeball in your pocket
exactly,
and then you get inside of a kangaroo and Pokeball that.
Then we're trapped forever.
Inception.
Where would the cats go?
Pokeception.
We can't leave the cats.
That's
we could put it could be kind of like what's the Gandalf's companion that was played by Sylvester McCoy is Radagast. We could put all the little cats like Radagast and you could just ride on a little sleigh pulled by your cat.
That would be
lovely.
That would be hilarious.
I want that.
Like, Gandalf's longtime companion. No, you're thinking Dumbledore.
Which should also happen, but you know, that's beside the point. No, I was just having a Tiffany's moment. You should mention that Tiffles is not here today, so I'm playing the role of Tiffles, evidently, and not remembering Radagast.
Radagast.
Yeah, I know. And her name is also Clint Scales, but I said Clint Sales, so you know, there you go.
But that makes sense because she is a vendor at the Muggles Market.
No, she's an artisan.
Oh, she's an artisan. Well, she's selling things, right?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. But we call them artisans because we appreciate the artwork that goes into what you do. Yeah. So why don't you tell us about what you do? What the heck do you do? Why are you here?
So I own a laser, and now...
Lasers.
Not the kind that you would put on a shark's head and then ride around with.
But could you? Maybe on your cats. You should put the laser on your cats when you go to
but
Canada.
Then they just
That's
chase
terrifying.
Themselves.
Yeah, did you know a laser actually doesn't produce anything that you can actually see?
Yeah, it's the little... Like,
it has plasma on the inside of it, but like the beam that actually comes out, you can't see. That's why they have to have a red focal
thingy. Yeah.
Yeah.
A focal thingy, that's the technical term.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the fact that they actually, gas doesn't smell. They put the smell in so that you know.
So you don't die.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no, I mean, there's no smell whatsoever, even when I crack the tubes. Because when they bust, or when they deplete, you have to crack them before you put them in the garbage. Because they have still traces of argon or CO2, and they have their gold catalyst in there still. So you have to break them apart first.
Wow.
So, getting back, you have lasers.
Yeah.
So people understand why you're cracking lasers into your trash can.
Yeah. So basically, I vector intensively. It's something I learned in school that I didn't go to school for. But because I vector so intensively, I can't just do like sandblasting or anything on glass that people normally do to etch glass. So by doing it with a laser, the laser basically prints it on the glass. It's not really printing, but it's printing. Hmm. And I can be as crazy as I want to be with any design, and it's going to come out.
And your glasses are not... Now, you did some glasses for me, and they were lovely, of a barometer, and that's going up to our friends at Beer Power Time Machine Fest 2. You actually do full glass etchings, so they almost look like comic books and other things where it's the full etching all the way around the glass, not just a little.
Yeah, I even have some that interlace on the back, so not only will they wrap themselves, but then they wrap onto themselves as well. And I don't just do like drinking glasses, I also do like mirrors and woodcuts and acrylic and everything else. So it's not just limited to glass. But I do like doing the glass because it's really nice when you turn the glass just to see that image kind of come out as you turn it or use it or whatever.
It's very cool.
So if you can laser it, you'll laser it.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Except you can't laser PVC.
And you learned this the hard way.
Thankfully, I didn't learn it the hard way. I looked it up before I bought it, but it produces a terribly toxic gas.
This is how Caitlin will die.
And I'll turn off my gas. So no, found that out ahead of time.
Wow. Okay.
Cutting leather and engraving leather smells like burning human flesh.
It smells awful.
It's awful.
So have you burned human flesh?
Thankfully, no. But walk past any crematorium, it'll smell about the same.
Ooh. Do you walk by a lot of crematoriums?
Again.
We want to understand how this happens.
That's a bad sublet. Ooh. Yeah, that's not good.
I thought that was just my thing.
Got your picnic basket just set up right beside a crematorium.
That is her lunch break usually.
Yeah,
Instagram
photos. It's not really a crematorium. I just walk around the cemetery.
Yes.
Ode to human.
So you sell these, and we actually met at last year's Rural Heroes Quidditch game.
Yes, we did.
I can't talk today. Rural I don't know Hill. Why I'm trying Rural Hill. Rural Hill Quidditch game and Quidditch Day. And you had done some amazing glasses for Thirsty Nomad Brewing, who's been on the podcast, and they were out there that day, and I bought that. And then I said, hey, we don't have a glass etcher for Muggles Market.
And I was like, I know, I applied, but I was too late.
I was like, it's okay. We will work this out. Yeah,
well, no,
we
have some pull.
Yeah. Yeah, because I run it. And we actually had somebody that had to back out because she broke her leg. So you have good timing.
Joey did not break her leg.
No, for the record, this woman was 2 hours away. So I had nothing to do with the breaking of her leg. She was also an actress. So I think she took the break a leg thing too literally. But, you know. Mm-hmm. So it worked out.
I heard it was a laser kind of accident. Wait a sec. Things are coming together now. So
and nice. They were cat hairs, but you know, we won't talk about that. But anyway.
Different. We found a busted tube in the garbage.
coincidence. No smell, though, so we figured it was iodine powder. My coworker was obsessed with your Overwatch glasses, and she was able to get one last year. Yeah. So what are some of the... You know, the saddest part about the Muggles Market is, as much as I love it, I don't get to see half the stuff.
I know.
Because
I made one
it's
go
like,
round.
Yeah, I made one go round, and then there were people. There were lots of people.
Yeah. very quickly. They descended like the horde.
How was it for you? Because, you know, I only know what I saw on my side. What was it like for you as an artisan to be there?
Well, honestly, I was there for about an hour, and I had to take my dog to the emergency vet.
Yeah, you did.
So that was lovely. But George stayed the whole time. And what I noticed at the beginning that were people were slowly trickling in, but I saw outside that there was just a crowd of people. So honestly, I got out before the crowd really descended because I needed to take the dog. So,
So
what happened, George?
Wait, can I just point out for the record that she had to save the 10 cats, but the dog not so much?
Oh, the dogs will be fine. I don't have to worry about the dogs.
You made me relax because I was like, what happened if that was not a good outcome? Then I would feel horrible that I asked.
The dogs will chase the rats and eat rats and roaches and stuff. They'll be fine.
Protein.
They're crazy. Yeah. They're crazy.
So, George, then, this is a great time for you to talk because you said you don't know about the lasers. So tell us about the Muckles Market from your perspective.
It was intense. There was so many people at a point where people were trying to walk through the aisles and they had to skid sideways along the tables because there wasn't enough room for people to walk. We had a friend, we told a friend about it, and they met us there just to kind of see us there.
Yeah.
And they said that they were there for like 2 hours and then finally got to where they were to see us. And they're like, oh man, there you are. We thought that we didn't know that you'd be here. It's like, well, we said we'd be here. Like, we've been here 2 hours and we didn't see you. Wow. Dang.
Yeah. We had, we did have somebody say afterwards that was an artisan in the survey we sent you guys saying, what could we do better? They're like, you should have had food trucks. And I was like,
oh, food trucks. Yeah, they were out there.
I was like, awesome. Other than the four we had out there. I was going to say,
they were there.
They were like, we never saw them. So, and I can totally believe that.
I don't think I saw them either on my way out.
They were setting up. I think they were setting up.
They were towards the, as you kind of past the door. So if you came in from the top, they were down towards the bottom. But I think people just like people who were inside selling never got a break to do anything.
Oh, no, I never left the table.
And how were your sales?
Oh, great. They were fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Did you sell out on anything?
We sold out of some Overwatch stuff, which I...
Yeah, which was the surprising part. We actually didn't sell out. Well, we sold out of all of our large beer steins of the Harry Potter houses. But the Overwatch stuff, we only brought a couple of each one, of course, but we have 26 designs. So,
yeah.
Wow.
So we actually sold out a few of those, and they were like, oh, I love Overwatch. I didn't know I'd find any of that stuff here. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because on the one hand, you want to have Harry Potter stuff. In the first year, our complaint from some people was that there wasn't enough Harry Potter stuff for calling it a Muggles Market.
Yeah.
And then the second year, like, everybody brought Harry Potter stuff, and that stuff didn't sell as much as the other things.
That makes sense.
So I don't know what the happy medium is. I'm like, keep it Harry Potter theme, but bring a bunch of other stuff, too. So
don't have a table that doesn't have anything Harry Potter, but if you have some other stuff, that'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the best advice you could give somebody who is... because you guys, what did you say? You did 14 conventions a year?
Roughly.
I think last year we did 12, but the year before that we did 18.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So. It all depends on which one.
Is this all in the Southeast or is this all?
No.
All over.
The year before last, when we did 18, we went to L.A. We've done Seattle before.
Oh.
The farthest we've driven is Austin, Texas, which was a truck. And then we also do Chicago and Boston, all the way down to Tampa, Florida.
Yep.
So
Hawaii. We did one in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. We did get to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
That was a fun one.
How did you do that? You had to ship all your stuff out, right?
Yes, we did.
We basically take whatever we can in luggage, and then if we have to ship anything out, we ship it to the hotel.
Yeah.
So what pieces of advice would you give to somebody? Now, is this your primary...
Oh, yeah. This has been my sole job for 5-6 years now.
Roughly, yeah.
So what advice would you give?
In general for conventions or...
Conventions and then for somebody doing this for a living. Because it's not like necessarily something you would find at your Hallmark store or whatever.
True.
So specialize in something, especially if you're an artisan there. If you go to anime shows in particular, you're going to see 30 different print vendors, and they're all going to have a different style and everything. But when you come across something that you don't see anywhere else, like our glass, a lot of people put logos and things on glass, but you're not going to see anything with the intensity as we have on our glass. You're just not.
Yeah.
I still haven't found anyone yet that is willing to, you know, do the vector work that I do. So really specialize in something, make it so that even someone that may not like what you've put on the cup, they're like, wow, even though I don't like this show or I don't like this character, I like it because it's so intense. So
yeah, because we had a lady come by when we were doing a show, and we have a lot of Overwatch. We got League of Legends characters, and we've got like anime characters and a bunch of different ones. And a lady comes up. Obviously, she's not there for the convention. She's there for her kids. And she's walking through, and she's like, oh, these are gorgeous. These are amazing. Who's this lady on the front? She points to some League of Legends character, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is from League of Legends. She's like, I don't know who that is, but can I have that glass? I was like, you serious? She's like, oh, she's beautiful. And I'm like, I'm going to have her up on the shelf. I was like,
wow.
You don't know who it is, but okay, sure. I'll wrap one up for you.
No, they That's are. Amazing. They were beautiful. I don't even know Overwatch because I just know I'd get sucked in and then you'd never see me again.
Yeah.
I have purposely not played it. And when my coworker saw that, well, I think I messaged you. I was like, hey, yeah, bring the Overwatch stuff because my coworker is freaking out. And I showed it to her because I thought it was cool. And I didn't know who they were. Yeah.
And I have a lot of diverse things. Like, I don't just have the anime and the games and things like that, but I have Firefly, a cup with a lot of portraits on it.
Yeah.
I have the 10th and 11th Doctor on other cups as well. And so I try to diversify as much as I can to appease as much clientele as I possibly can. And that's another big thing. If you're doing shows or even if you're selling online, if you really target towards only one type of customer, eventually you're going to get stale.
Yeah.
But if you can pull in a bunch of different people from a bunch of different age ranges, that, I mean, that's how you seal it.
Nice.
And I totally lost my train of thought because you turned and asked me a question.
I just looked at you.
Don't look at me.
These eyes.
Don't sing, please. No singing.
No. So what's your, you have a web presence as well?
I do. I actually, my main thing that I sustain myself on is I draw really cute Pokemon.
So oh, okay.
My biggest online presence is that I go by Clinkers online.
Aww.
But I do run a wholesale laser company, but I cut acrylic as well with that, and that's Clinks Drinks.
Clinks Drinks.
Yes, which I totally love the name, and it wasn't until after we met that I realized that Clink Scales was your last name.
Yeah.
A nice little play.
I just thought, how cool. And then I had to sit there and go, okay, was that her real name? Or did she change it?
I got that all through school as well. I was like, is that your last name? Like, why did you change your last name? I was like, I didn't. It's not I was like Caitlin Smith. I've been Caitlin Klingscales. Can't fill it all the way in on the Scantrons. Like,
what is that? What's the nationality or what is it?
Scotch-Irish.
Scotch-Irish. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's very dragon-y, inspiring, clinky.
Apparently. Uh-huh. Well, on the historical chart or whatever, we were armor makers and we specialized in making like armor that you could slay a dragon with, you know. But we don't ask questions.
In the future, we'll slay dragons with lasers.
Yeah.
Yes.
They'll never know. They'll never know because, like you said, it's invisible. It's not like Star Wars where
you can
hit and miss. It's like, I remember the first time my physical science teacher, like in 9th or 10th grade, was like, you know, actually, Star Wars, it wouldn't even make sounds. And I was like, I'm going to kill you. I don't want to hear this. I understand your science, but no, it must be. Yes, I love Star Wars. Because he said you would just, if they actually, like you're saying, if they actually had you in their scope, that's it. You'd be hit.
It'd be instant.
Yeah. There's no dodging or. Nope. And you can't see it. So
yeah, exactly. And then it would explode silently.
Yeah.
But how fun is that in the movies?
I know, right?
Silent explosions?
I don't know. The last one, The Last Jedi, that silent explosion after a...
That was very cinematic.
That was actually very
cinematic. There's something wrong with your sound.
Oh.
You heard about that, right? That movie theaters had to put up a sign that said, you know, at like 1 hour, 20 minutes, there will be a silent. This is not an error with the projector. It's done for effect.
People are going, turn it off. knob. Turn a knob.
I've gone deaf.
They said that people kept coming out and trying to tell them that there was something wrong with the sound.
The Star Wars camera.
It's like speed of light versus speed of sound. You know, have you ever heard of this?
It's called art.
I know.
Appreciate it.
And like, spoiler alert, if I see that sign, I mean, that would
You know, to expect something.
I'd have been like, great, I can hear something. I already know it's coming.
Give me my money back. My thing is I just wish they would reinstitute intermissions in movies, because Big Gulps, I cannot win. Although I haven't downloaded that app. There's an app that tells you when's a good time to pee during a movie.
That's nice.
See, yes. I wish there were intermissions just so they would make movies longer, because apparently there was a 4-hour cut of Black Panther, and the whole time I was watching that movie, I was like, I wish this was a little bit more spread out. It was so fast-paced. It's like, I didn't have a moment to enjoy what just happened because we're already in something else. So it's like, if you made it 4 hours and at 2 hours we had an intermission, or an hour and a half and then another hour and a half. Like,
they can't screen it as many times.
Yeah.
Put it in a special theater. And that's why they do part one, part two, part 37.
All
right. So, other than drink glasses and steins, I know we were talking out in the other room that you ordered keychains and stuff like that. So, is that part of your business model too?
So, that's what I do with the Pokemon. I used to toil away endlessly on cutting them out of Shrinky Dinks.
That was
gosh.
Yeah. So they have printable Shrinky Dinks now. And literally, my hands were just garbage. And I would cut out hundreds of sheets of Shrinky Dinks for each show.
Oh my God.
Have to bake them all. Some of them would curl up and you couldn't uncurl them. So that was just lost.
We were literally baking Pokemon Shrinky Dinks for like 4 hours straight.
What does that smell like?
Hot plastic. Hot plastic. Not a fun smell.
Hot coffee.
So I don't recommend that to anyone unless they're like just gonna try out keychains. Like, okay, I'll make like 20 Shrinky Dinks. Okay, but don't ever put it on a massive scale, because I was making 300 or 400 keychains per show.
That was the worst.
Cutting them out individually by hand before I knew what a plotter was.
So is that like your entry level, like low price point to get people to buy something?
It really was.
Yeah.
Okay.
They should not have been this cheap, but they were $5 a piece.
Oh, that's good.
So you tortured your hands for $5 a piece.
Yeah.
Oh.
My hands are broken.
That and only like 2 Michaels in the entire area sold them. So every week we'd be selling them out every time. And we'd have to have them on call and be like, hey, you have any Shrinky Dinks in? They're like, not yet. And it's like, it's Wednesday. Today's your ship day. It's supposed to be here today.
You're telling them. Much. Yeah.
It's like, like, oh my God, here they come again. Hide them.
Shrinky Dinks.
You had 11 on order. We know, because we came in last week and you said you had 11 on order. They're coming in on the Wednesday truck.
We want them all.
Put them aside.
Oh my God. Wow. I can't even imagine. Although, I have to say, for my wedding, I kind of did that at Dollar Tree.
Stock them?
Stock them. Because I had had this craft, and it was like I needed this certain plate, and I needed this certain, candle holder, and then I was, so it was a thing. I needed them all. But here in the university area of Charlotte, we were fortunate enough to have 3 Dollar Trees on the same road. It's just a 3-mile road, so you just hit each one.
There you go.
And they're like, watch out, she's coming. She's going to wipe you out. Yeah, I think I spent $168 at Dollar Tree one time. I think that just tells you something, right?
That was like their biggest sale of the
century.
No,
they said it was the second biggest. I was really sad, and I was almost tempted to go back and buy more. But then my friend looked at me and said, stop the insanity. Yeah. So, all right. Well, so what are you looking forward to at the Muggles Market this year? Maybe staying the whole time?
Yeah. I think we're actually going to do the Geek Gala this year, and hopefully my dog won't try to die.
Yeah, that's the main reason we left so early, is because as soon as she came back, she's like, all right, the dog's fine, but it's on medication. So as soon as this is over, we got to go. Yeah. And we got to.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
But the doggy's fine now, right?
Doggy's fine now. Yeah. I spent 3 hours at the emergency vet, like $600 later.
And then you came back and said, George, I hope you sold $600 worth of stuff.
We're good. George,
we're all good. Pack up, we're leaving. I need a nap.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming and hanging out. And just tell everybody where to find you on the interwebs one more time.
My glass is Clinks Drinks, CLINKSDRINKS, and that's on Etsy and Facebook. And then if you want to see my really stupidly cute Pokemon, that's Clinkers, which is CLINKORZ.
Aww. Mm-hmm. And again, if you can't find her during the apocalypse, she's inside the kangaroo, Pokemon. Inside the kangaroo's
pouch.
With belly.
Just look for the cats.
With my Radagast of cats.
I like that. That's a new phrase, a Radagast of cats. All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Yes. We can't wait to see you in November.
Yep, we'll be there.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.